Amen. Please be seated. Let us continue to worship our triune God by giving our attention to the reading of His Holy Word. Our New Testament lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 1, and our focus is on verses 30 through 34 as we continue in our series in the Gospel of John on Sunday mornings. It's found on page 886 of the Pew Bible, if you'd like to follow along there. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, beginning in verse 29. These are the words of the one true and living God. The next day, he, that is John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness, 'I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, "He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit." And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God." So far, the reading of God's holy word. To His name be praise and glory. Let's look to Him in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for the gift of Your written word, inspired by the Holy Spirit. We thank You that every word of it points to the incarnate Word, the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us, the One in whom we behold the glory of God, as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. We pray for the Spirit of God, that heavenly dove, through whom You have poured out Your love into our hearts, to grant us through the written word to see Christ, to see Him as the lover of our souls, to shed abroad in our hearts His love, that our love for You and for one another might be kindled in this hour. This we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, as we've seen in our series in the Gospel of John, John was seeking to show us who Jesus of Nazareth is. He was addressing that all-important question, who is Jesus Christ? And so far, he has answered that question by telling us, among other things, that Jesus is the Word of God who became flesh. That Jesus is the light of the world. And as we considered last week from verse 29 of the opening chapter of John's Gospel, Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This morning we consider another facet of the ministry, the person and the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was described first by John the Baptist and recorded then by John the Apostle, namely that Jesus is He who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. We're going to consider this important aspect of our Lord's ministry under two headings this morning. First, by way of contrast, we see that John baptized with water. And then our main point this morning, Jesus baptizes with the Holy Spirit. So first, John the Baptist baptized with water. As we mentioned in his gospel, the Apostle John was seeking to show us the true identity of Jesus Christ. In addition, and in support of that cause, he was seeking to address the identity of John the Baptist. Some had believed that John was himself kind of Messiah. And so John the Apostle and John the Baptist too were saying, no, no, John the Baptist is not the Messiah. He was a God-appointed witness to the Messiah. His mission was not to save, but to point everyone to the only one who can save, namely Jesus Christ. And so already in the first chapter of our gospel, we've seen John contrast John the Baptist with Jesus by saying, for example, in verse 8, he, that is John the Baptist, was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light, that is, the Son of God. And John the Baptist spoke such sentiments himself repeatedly. He said in verse 20, I am not the Christ. He's dealing with that question of his own identity relative to the Christ. He's saying, I'm not the Christ. And in verse 23 of the first chapter of John's Gospel, John the Baptist said, I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. John was abundantly clear. I came to prepare the way for the Lord. I am not the Lord himself. Well, in our passage this morning, we find John the Baptist making another contrast between himself and Jesus. John the Baptizer, as he's also called, contrasted the baptism which he administered with the baptism that Jesus administers. John's baptism was with water. Jesus' baptism is with the Holy Spirit. And the difference between the baptism that John administered and the baptism that Jesus administers helps us see the different identity of these two men. Two different baptisms help us see the difference, fundamental difference, between these two great men. You may remember we mentioned last week that Jesus on one occasion said that John the Baptist was the greatest man on the earth. And you have John the Baptist saying, no, no, I'm not worthy to untie the sandal of this man. In other words, I'm not worthy to be the lowliest of his servants. As we have discussed, John was conceived and was born before Jesus. Moreover, he commenced his public ministry before Jesus commenced his. In those significant ways, Jesus came after John. But John insisted, after me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me. John was, of course, speaking of the eternality of the Lord Jesus Christ, the preexistence of Christ, and indeed his eternality. He was communicating the same truth that the Apostle John communicated back in chapter 1 and verse 1 of his gospel when he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And John admitted that he needed divine revelation in order to see this truth of the eternality, the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 31 of our text, John said, I myself did not know him. And again in verse 33, I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. John is confessing that he needed supernatural revelation to discern the true identity of the Lord Jesus Christ, just like all of us need supernatural revelation, a work of God to open our eyes to see who Christ is and to honor him for who he is and to love him for who he is. Now you may remember that when the mother of our Lord went to see her relative Elizabeth, and Elizabeth was carrying in her womb already, John the Baptist, that when Mary, carrying the Lord Jesus in her womb, entered the house of Elizabeth and heard the voice of Mary, that John leapt for joy in the womb of his mother Mary. So there was a sense in which the preborn John recognized something about the one in whose presence he was, that there was something very special going on there as his mother Elizabeth visited with her cousin, her relative Mary, and he was first time in the presence of Jesus. But the man John needed revelation. He needed affirmation regarding Jesus as the Christ. He says, I did not know him. Now, it's possible, because they grew up in two different places, that they had never actually met outside the womb. But it's also possible that they knew each other, they had spent time together, but John had not yet discerned the identity. He did not yet know the identity of his relative, of his cousin, Jesus. And so he needed divine revelation, just as all of us need divine revelation to see who Jesus is. And that revelation for John came through the baptism of Jesus by the Holy Spirit. John was told by the living God, who called him to baptize with water, that he would recognize who the Christ is when the Holy Spirit would come upon him, would descend upon him and remain, signifying that the Holy Spirit would not merely use this man as a tool and then leave him, but the Holy Spirit would remain upon him, signifying that this was indeed the Christ. And John knew what his mission was, therefore, in light of this. It was to baptize with water, calling people to repentance, seeking to help them see their sin. That's a tough job. It's a tall order. I want you to show people their sin. How would you like that as sort of your main calling in life? Show people their sin. You're probably not going to be the most popular person on the block or guy at work or the kid at school, right? But that was John's calling, basically. Proclaim the truth, proclaim the holiness of God, that people might see their sin, that you might prepare people in that way for the Savior. Because if they don't see their sin, they won't see their need of a Savior. And so God authorized John to baptize with water, to administer a baptism of repentance, that people might see their sin and repent of it and prepare to receive the Savior. But he did not have the authority to baptize with the Holy Spirit. Only God could do that. And so that takes us to our second point. Jesus baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Again, we read in verse 32, and John bore witness, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him, Jesus. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. John administered water baptism to Jesus. We talked about the significance of that last week. But you may remember that at the baptism of Jesus, the glory and the love and the power of the triune God was made manifest. The Son of God, the second person of the adorable Trinity, was humbling himself and identifying himself with sinners and undergoing a baptism of repentance in our place, signifying his union with us, signifying that he was, as the head of the church, turning the body, the church, all those who trust in Him back to God to restore us to a right relationship with God. And we saw the Spirit of God descending from heaven in the form of a dove, baptizing, anointing Jesus, demonstrating to John and to all of us that Jesus is the Anointed One, the Messiah, the Christ, sent by God to save us from our sins. And then even more affirmation of the identity of Christ, communicated to John and to all the witnesses there and through Scripture to all of us. Even more affirmation of this fact came through the voice of God the Father, first person of the Blessed Trinity. As He said, "This is My beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." So we see the baptism of Jesus, this beautiful revelation of the triune nature of God. The Son being baptized, the Holy Spirit descending upon Him in the form of a dove, and the voice of the Father identifying His Son, identifying Jesus as His beloved Son. This affirmed to John the identity of Jesus. As John summarized it all in verse 34, "I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God." John the Baptist indeed testified to the fact that Jesus is both God and man. In verse 30, we heard him say, "After me comes a man." In verse 34, "He is the Son of God." This is very important. And we see this connection in the baptism of Jesus. As man, Jesus was baptized by John in our place, and by the Holy Spirit to fulfill all that the Father had given him to do. As the God-man, Jesus has the authority to baptize us with the Holy Spirit. Why does He do it? Why does Jesus baptize His people with His Spirit? Well, by way of application, let me mention four reasons why Jesus, our elder brother, our great high priest, the Son of God and the Son of Man, why does Jesus baptize us with the Holy Spirit? Well, first, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which Jesus administers, saves us. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, which Jesus administers, saves us. Remember when He washed His disciples' feet, and Peter said, "Oh no, Jesus, you mustn't wash my feet. I'm your servant. You mustn't serve me. You mustn't minister to me in that way." And Jesus said, "If I don't wash your feet, you have no part of me." In other words, you have no part of the salvation that I'm bringing about. And Peter says, "Well, then wash my whole body. I must have that washing. I must have that salvation." You see, Jesus is the great servant who ministers to His people. And one of the ways He ministers to His people, just as an ordained minister of word and sacrament administers water baptism, one of the ways that Jesus, the great servant of His people, ministers to His people is by administering the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that we might have part in His salvation. J.C. Ryle comments on those words of John the Baptist recorded in verse 33 of our text when the Baptist says, "This is He who baptizes with the Holy Spirit." J.C. Ryle has a wonderful section commenting on those words. And again, I would encourage, if you want a resource to to maybe read in a devotional way as we make our way through John's Gospel on Sunday mornings. A wonderful supplement to that would be these daily readings by J.C. Ryle, again, called Daily Readings from J.C. Ryle, compiled by Robert Sheehan. This is Volume 2 of the Gospel of John. If you read maybe two or three of these a week, you'll basically stay on track with where we are in our series. The great Anglican J.C. Ryle said this about the baptism that Jesus gives. He says, "The baptism here spoken of is not the baptism of water. It does not consist either of dipping or sprinkling. It does not belong exclusively either to infants or to grown-up people. It is not a baptism which any man can give, Episcopalian or Presbyterian, Independent or Methodist, layman or minister. It is a baptism which the great head of the church keeps exclusively in his own hands. It consists of the implanting of grace into the inward man. It is the same thing with the new birth. It is a baptism not of the body, but of the heart. It is a baptism which the penitent thief, the thief on the cross, received, though neither dipped nor sprinkled with water by the hand of man." Let it be a settled principle in our religion that the baptism of which John the Baptist speaks here is the baptism which is absolutely necessary for our salvation. The baptism of water is a most blessed and profitable ordinance and cannot be neglected without great sin. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit is of far greater importance. The man who dies with his heart not baptized by Christ can never be saved. And so Jesus, in his humble service to his church, baptizes his people with the Holy Spirit that we might be saved, that we might be born again. As we'll see in John chapter 3, he speaks of Nicodemus, you must be born again. How are we born again? We're born again by the baptism of the Holy Spirit when Jesus, with his Heavenly Father, sends the Holy Spirit into the deadness of our spiritual lives and gives us new life in Christ. Grants us the faith to believe in Jesus. Grants us union with Christ in his death and his resurrection life, grants us to lay hold of Christ such that Christ's righteousness becomes ours and we are justified before God. Have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit that Jesus, humble servant of the church, administers that you might be saved? May you do so today by faith. Jesus administers the baptism of the Holy Spirit that we might be saved, but secondly, the baptism that he administers satisfies us. It saves us, but it also satisfies us. The baptism of the Holy Spirit makes us to know those rivers of living water deep within our souls. It makes us to know the triune life of God taking up residence within us. It makes us to know Jesus as our elder brother, and God, his Father, as our Father. As Paul puts it in Galatians 4:6, "Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father." Dear friends, you and I were made with these spiritual cups within our souls. And we try to fill those cups with all kinds of things, don't we? All kinds of things, all kinds of people, all kinds of relationships, all kinds of experiences. It is only the Holy Spirit of God who can fill that cup to overflowing that we might have satisfaction in our souls. How does he do it? Well, he connects us to Jesus and the fellowship that Jesus has with his Heavenly Father. Therein is true satisfaction for our souls as we experience God the Father through Jesus His Son, as we walk with Him, as we pray to Him, as we worship Him, as we fellowship with Him day by day, there and there alone, do we have satisfaction for our souls. The baptism which Jesus administers saves us. It satisfies us. It sanctifies us, thirdly. As Paul tells us in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the one who comes as He is sent by Jesus into our lives, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's the hallmark of one who knows the baptism which Jesus gives. We know if someone has been baptized immediately thereafter, if they are wet. How do you know if someone's been baptized by the Holy Spirit? They're growing in love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and all the rest. Put it another way, they're growing in Christ-like character when no one else is looking. They're growing in Christ-like character by the way they treat their spouse and their children and their parents and their neighbors and their co-workers and their fellow church members. Jesus baptizes us with His Spirit that we might grow in His likeness to the glory of God the Father. And that always involves repentance from the opposites of those attributes we just mentioned. Repentance from hatred, joylessness, strife, impatience, indifference, immorality, disloyalty, harshness, and a lack of self-control. Such repentance and such growth in Christ's likeness comes only through dependence upon the Holy Spirit with whom Jesus baptizes each and every believer and fills our soul with His Spirit's presence and power. And then fourthly, the baptism of the Holy Spirit which Jesus gives sends us. It saves us, sanctifies us, it satisfies us, and it sends us, that baptism. It sends us out. Gets us out of ourselves and our preoccupation with self. It sends us out. As we read in toward the end of John's Gospel, in John chapter 20, verses 21 and 23, it was on the evening of that first Easter day, the resurrected Jesus appeared to His disciples, and He said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so send I you." And when He had said this, He breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." In other words, Jesus was saying, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you out to be my witnesses, and I'm not going to send you out alone. I'm going to send you with the help of the great helper of God's people, the Holy Spirit, to do all that I'm calling you to do. I'm going to enable you to be my witnesses, He says, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that, of course, was a foretaste of what was to come. 40 days later, after Resurrection Day, before Jesus ascended to the Father's right hand, Jesus told His disciples, as is recorded in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, "You receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And then 10 days later, what happened? Pentecost. Jesus and His Heavenly Father made over what Jesus calls the promise of the Father, the baptism, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So that the church was born. That might begin to grow by leaps and bounds, like a spreading flame throughout the world. Through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Jesus saves us, He sanctifies us, He satisfies us, and He sends us out to be His witnesses. I ask you this morning, are you alive to the Holy Spirit? Are you enlivened this day by the Holy Spirit? Do you know that glorious truth about which we sang earlier when we sang about the heavenly dove descending upon? Do you know the quickening power, the revitalizing power of the Holy Spirit in your life? Are you experiencing the joy of God's salvation, the satisfaction of His fellowship, the sanctification that He gives, and the zeal that He gives His people to be His witnesses? It's very easy to fall into spiritual lethargy in all of those departments. But the Holy Spirit, the one whom Andrew Murray called the all-comprehensive gift, He is the one who enlivens us in every area of our lives that we might be Christ's disciples and His witnesses to the world. To witness, as John witnessed when he said in verse 34 of our text, "I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God." That is our great calling, above all else. To know Jesus as the Son of God and to witness to others that He is the Son of God. In other words, to tell people what is so great about our faith is that the living God, in love for us, has come to save us. That's our calling as a church, to bear witness that Jesus is the Son of God. Let us do that in increasing ways and with increasing vitality through the power of God's outpoured Spirit. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we confess that without Your Holy Spirit, we are dead in our trespasses and sins. Without Your Holy Spirit, we are dissatisfied, we are frustrated, we are empty. Without Your Holy Spirit, we have no victory over sin. And without Your Holy Spirit's help and prompting through the words which He has inspired, we have no zeal and certainly no follow through to be witnesses that Jesus is the Son of God. So Lord, quicken us by Your Spirit. Enliven us, revive us by Your Spirit. The Spirit who lives within each and every Christian. Fill us and prompt us and grow us by Your Spirit, that we indeed might be Your faithful witnesses, that others might know Him whom to know is life eternal, to the honor and glory of Your name. Through Christ we pray. Amen.